another 15 miles north, and you'll reach Crooksville, the home of Andrew Taylor Still, founding physician of osteopathic medicine and the American School of Osteopathy, founded in 1892. In the 1860s, an epidemic of spinal meningitis took the lives of three of Still's children. His inability to save his family, coupled with his grim experiences as a Civil War doctor, led him to reject most of what he had learned about medicine, and he began a search for new and better methods. In 1885, Dr. Still's methods began to be called osteopathy. Soon after, so many people traveled to Crooksville seeking osteopathic treatment that the Wabash Railroad had to increase the number of daily passenger trains to Crooksville. The first class of the American School of Osteopathy graduated in 1894. By 1897, the school's success made it necessary to add two wings that more than tripled the original building. Today, students study at the Crooksville College of Osteopathic Medicine, the oldest osteopathic institution in the world. On the A.T. Still University campus, you can visit the Still National Osteopathic Museum. The museum was built directly over Dr. Still's cabin, encasing it among several osteopathic exhibits. Crooksville interprets its history through Truman State University, the Ruth Town Museum, the Adair County Historical Museum, and the Battle of Crooksville Memorial. More history can be found nearby in the rolling landscape of Thousand Hills State Park, where an interpretive shelter displays 1,500-year-old Native American petroglyphs. While there are plenty of places to have dinner and stay the night in downtown Crooksville, you may want to rent a cabin or camp out among the stars at Thousand Hills. The name aptly fits this beautiful park that features a 573-acre lake situated in a valley located within the center of the park's forest. Back along the B-Trace Trail, or Highway 63, and south of Macon, is plenty more to see. 12 miles south on Highway 63, you will pass Jacksonville, one of three cities named Jacksonville in the state. Here, the 117-acre Missouri Veterans Cemetery honors the veterans of Northeast Missouri. 14 miles further south, you'll come to the town of Moberly, once the home of a world-famous veteran whose honors earned him a place in Arlington National Cemetery. Five-star General Omar N. Bradley moved to Moberly as a junior in high school. After school, he worked for the Wabash Railroad and planned to go to school at the University of Missouri. Serendipity stepped in, however, and with the help of his school advisor and his outstanding academic skills, he applied and was accepted to West Point in 1911. Bradley went on to command the U.S. 1st Army and the U.S. Army Group in World War II. His 12th Army Group, consisting of 21 divisions and more than 900,000 men, was the largest ever commanded by an American general. Later in life, Bradley was promoted to Army Chief of Staff and eventually became the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Bradley takes his place, along with Generals Pershing, Price, Sterling, Crowder, and Taylor, on this hometown highway of genius. Just before coming into the town of Moberly, you'll pass the Omar N. Bradley Airport on the east side of Highway 63. The town also pays tribute to Bradley with a display at the County Historical Society and a prominent statue in Rockwell Park. Rockwell Park, located on the west side of the city, is one of the largest municipal parks in Missouri, featuring more than 447 wooden acres, 50 acres of lakes, and an aquatic center. Moberly's railroad routes inspired its nickname of the Magic City when in 1873 the town's population spiked with the coming of the Wabash Railroad shock. Today in Rockwell Park, the Magic City Line mini train allows train fans of all ages to take a mile-long trip through the park. It operates on Sundays from mid-April until October. Moberly is also the home of romance novelist Elizabeth Seaford Gasparotti and Jack Conwood, who wrote books and short stories about the Great Depression, including his well-known book, The Disinherited. The Five and Drive Theater, at the north edge of the city, is believed to be the only combination indoor movie theater and drive-in in the nation. It's one of only a dozen drive-in theaters still operating in Missouri. As you leave this crossroads of railroad history, you'll soon arrive to Shelbina. North of Shelbina, on Highway 15, are two communities, which in every sense of the word are communal. Like the Benedictines in Conception Junction, the Mormons in Far West, and the Amish in Jamesport, these communities were built around their faith. 13 miles north of Shelbina, in the town of Bethel, sit 30 buildings built in the mid-1800s that remain as symbols to the historic Christian colony that once lived here. In 1844, an independent preacher, Dr. Wilhelm Thiel, led a group of Christians from the eastern United States to begin the most successful communal colony in the state of Missouri. By 1850, the colony had grown to 476 members. Everything in this community was shared: crops, clothing, crafts, and even earnings. Each family was given a house. Food and clothing were distributed equally, and each person worked as he was able, with no accounts being kept of the work he had done. After Steele died, the colony disbanded in 1879. Today, this community offers the public an opportunity to step back in time and explore this incredible 1800s colony with a mapped walking tour. Visitors can also spend time in shops and museums, enjoy homemade meals at the fest hall, and view a way of life where doors were left unlocked and people truly lived by the saying, "What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine." 6 miles further north from Bethel, on Highway E, is another faith-based community. Heartland formed in 1995 to help hurting people get a fresh start in life. Their community includes a church, elementary and high school, convenience store, the Heartland Christian College, recovery centers, and group homes for men, women, and children. Heartland Ministries offers a program to heal those who are suffering from problems ranging from addiction, anger, broken homes, and financial crisis. They believe their visitors will heal if they engage in hard work, biblical teaching, and have an open heart to Jesus. Their recovery center houses 80 to 100 men of all ages and from all over the world. The Heartland Dairy and Creamery is where some of these men work. In return, the men are paid an hourly wage and their housing unit expenses are deducted from their pay. The dairy is home to more than 6,000 Holstein cows and 750 goats. Each day, 4,000 cows take their turn on the carousel milking machine, producing 27,500 gallons of raw milk daily. Tourists to the dairy can view the entire milking process from the observation room located at the visitor center. The Heartland Dairy produces fresh milk, which is secured in glass bottles or made into cheese just down the road at the Heartland Creamery. Several lives have been transformed at Heartland by caring counselors and encouragement from people who have walked similar paths. Back on Highway 36, you'll soon approach the birthplace of one of America's greatest authors and humorists. Samuel Langhorne Clemens, better known as Mark Twain, was born in a small rented log cabin in Florida, Missouri. The witty author said of his birthplace,
"I was born there in 1835. The village contained 100 people, and I increased the population by 1%. It's more than many of the best men in history could have done for a town. It may not be modest in me to refer to this, but it's true. There's no record of a person doing as much, not even Shakespeare. But I did it for Florida."
When Twain was 4 years old, his family moved to Hannibal, the last city in Missouri along Highway 36 before entering Illinois. To visit the Mark Twain Birthplace State Historic Site located in Florida, Missouri, take Route D south at Hunewell to Highway 24 east and then Route 107 south. Or you can take Highway 24 south at Monroe City. The museum features Twain's two-room cabin, a video presentation on his life, first editions of Twain's books, handwritten manuscripts, and educational exhibits and artifacts. You can even sit back and read for a bit in the museum's public reading room. Surrounding the Mark Twain birthplace is Mark Twain State Park, Mark Twain Lake, and Clarence Cannon Dam. The lake was formed when the Clarence Cannon Dam project was completed in 1982, transforming Salt River Valley into the state's fifth largest reservoir. More than 285 miles of shoreline, 18,600 acres of water, and 35,000 acres of undeveloped public land offer several outdoor activities. The lake has 14 public use areas with boat ramps, beaches, playgrounds, and several picnic areas. Visitors can pop up their own tent or spend the night in one of the park's cabins, motels, or condos. A new multi-million dollar visitor center is also open, providing tourists the history of the area and the latest information. You can also reach Mark Twain Lake and the Clarence Cannon Dam from Monroe City along Highway 36. Monroe City is considered the gateway to Cannon Dam and the queen of the prairie. Like the westward pioneers who packed up their wagons with food and items at the last trading post before venturing out into the open prairie, thousands of recreationists pack up their vehicles with necessities before they head down to the lake for a week or a weekend. Those who prefer a bottle of wine for their picnic by the lake can stop on Highway 24, just a mile south of Monroe City at the Indian Creek Winery. On weekends, the winery invites visitors to sample and purchase some of their local wine and their homegrown fruits and vegetables, baked goods, and candy. As you leave Monroe City, the flat land you've been traveling through will give way to rolling hills once again. These rolling hills will take you all the way to the Mississippi River. The last exit off of Highway 36 before crossing the river into Illinois will take you to historic downtown Hannibal, the boyhood home of Samuel Langhorne Clemens, known around the world as the author Mark Twain. Twain spent his formative years in Hannibal, and many of his childhood adventures were immortalized in his literary work, including The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and Life on the Mississippi. In Hannibal, Clemens spent his days exploring the caves, watching the steamboats bring news, people, and goods to the sleepy river town of Hannibal, and dreaming of someday being a riverboat captain or a pirate. Of his childhood days, Twain would later say,
"Those were pleasant days. None since have been so pleasant. None so well worth living over again."
Visitors looking to follow in Twain's footsteps can visit his childhood home, part of the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum property. There, interactive museums and historic buildings tell the story of Twain in Hannibal. Included in the complex is the Becky Thatcher House, the home of the girl that inspired the character of Becky Thatcher in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Twain's father's Justice of the Peace office is also part of the museum tour. As Justice of the Peace, young Sam Clemens saw his father as a stern and imposing figure. He would later write,
"My father was a justice of the peace, and I suppose he possessed the power of life and death over all men, and could hang anybody that offended him."
Sam witnessed several memorable events in his father's office, many making their way into his later works, including Life on the Mississippi. The museum gallery offers many hands-on exhibits, as well as a permanent exhibit showcasing 15 original Norman Rockwell oil paintings that were used as illustrations in special editions of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Rockwell was the first illustrator to actually travel to Hannibal before creating his well-known scenes. The only known remaining white suit coat, which Twain was so well known for during his later years, is also on display in the museum gallery. The same cave that Sam Clemens explored as a youth is still open for exploration at the Mark Twain Cave Complex, although visitors are taken on a guided tour so as to not get lost like Tom and Becky. The Mark Twain Riverboat, a sightseeing cruise along the Mississippi, can also give visitors a taste of Twain's adventure. A riverboat pilot in early adulthood, Twain took his pen name from the riverboat term Mark Twain, which meant 2 fathoms or 14 feet. Workers on the riverboats would yell out, "Mark Twain!" to tell the pilot that the water was deep enough for safe passage. Hannibal celebrates Twain year-round and is known for its Twain-centric celebrations, including National Tom Sawyer Days, held over the 4th of July, and Twain on Maine, held over Memorial Day weekend. In addition to Twain history, art galleries, theaters, restaurants, and gift shops line the downtown streets of Hannibal. Historic homes and sightseeing tours through town provide even more interpretation of Twain's stories and the era in which he lived. Twain was not the only famous person to call Hannibal home. The unsinkable Molly Brown of Titanic fame was born here too. Margaret Brown is best remembered for her heroic action to take the oars of lifeboat number 6 against the advice of the ship's crewmen to paddle back and rescue any survivors. You can visit her birthplace, located a short walk from downtown. South from downtown on Scenic Highway 79, you can travel along the mighty Mississippi and through valleys of rock cutting. It was these shale and limestone bluffs that attracted the Atlas Portland Cement Company to build their plant here and begin production in 1903. While some communities along Highway 36 crowded with the arrival of a railroad or the discovery of a coal mine, the community of Alaska was set in concrete. Searching for work, Eastern European and Italian immigrants settled right on the cement company's property, and this community became Alasco. The town's name, coined by the cement company, is an acronym for the ingredients of concrete: iron, limestone, aluminum, silica, coal, and oxygen. For the raw materials of cement, the adjacent quarries provide the 88% limestone and 6% shale that blend with clay and iron ore. The plant provided cement for some of the world's greatest structures, such as the Panama Canal and the Empire State Building. More than 100 years later, the company, now called Continental Cement, is still thriving in its original spot and opens its doors for scheduled tours to schools and other groups. As technology began replacing human labor, thus reducing the number of people needed at the cement factory, immigrants soon moved for other work and the community of Alaska faded. Along Highway 79, a monument stands as a tribute to the thousands of immigrants who gathered here to find work in America and, in the process, form their own town of Alaska. Miles further south on Highway 79 is Louisiana, a city of outstanding art and architecture. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources has touted Louisiana's beautiful downtown as the most intact Victorian streetscape in the state of Missouri. The city boasts 24 huge murals displayed on city structures throughout the town and the Henry Lay Sculpture Park, funded by St. Louis University and the Lay Family Foundation. The sculpture park invites visitors to stroll through 20 acres of art, both man-made and nature-made. The path winds through a maple grove, the McElwee Cemetery, and most importantly, past a number of sculpture pieces by nationally and internationally known artists. Hannibal, Louisiana, and Clarksville, just south of Louisiana, come together twice a year for 50 Miles of Art, a weekend where practicing artisans open their studios to allow visitors an inside peek of geniuses at work. 30 miles south of Hannibal is Bowling Green and the home of former Congressman James Beauchamp Clark. Champ Clark was a member of Missouri's 9th District who presided as Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives from 1911 to 1919. His beautiful Victorian home is now a National Historic Landmark and Regional Museum. The museum interprets not only the personal lives and political legacies of the Clark family, but the remarkable records of public service by elected office holders from Pike County and Northeast Missouri. From river to river, Highway 36 takes travelers on a journey through small towns that inspired greatness, towns founded by coal and commerce and the blast of a train's whistle, and by communities gathered in a common faith. Highway 36 also takes travelers through stories of innovation and entrepreneurship, to the Pony Express stables, to the home of sliced bread, and to fields converted for conservation. Highway 36 features stories of some of America's most outstanding individuals, to Walt Disney's Wishing Tree, to General John J. Pershing's boyhood home, to Mark Twain's Mississippi, and the setting for the greatest stories he ever wrote. In Twain's book, Life on the Mississippi, he describes his beloved boyhood river by saying,
"The Face of the Water, in time, became a wonderful book, a book that was a dead language to the uneducated passenger, which told its mind to me without reserve. delivering its most cherished secrets as clearly as if it had ever been with a voice. And it was not a book to be read once and thrown aside, for it had a new story to tell every day.
We hope you enjoyed your drive today, and that with each journey you take across it, the communities around you will open up like a wonderful book, offering new stories for you to share along Highway 36, The Way of American Genius.